This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. We've actually got four clips. Jake and I realized that we played two of these clips last week, so we have four clips remaining from Matt Rhule's most recent national interview that we want to go through. Also, Abby Barmore will be joining us at 12:30. Jake, go ahead and roll that first clip, and then you and I will both react to Coach Rhule's comments.
It still comes down to the player saying, hey, what's the best fit for me? What's the best opportunity for me? You know, the days of teams loading up and having a great second team, that's usually the difference, right? The best programs have the most depth. But now teams are going to buy away their depth. Hey, why be a second string guy there and make $200,000? Come be a starter for us. Maybe it's not as good a program. Maybe it's not as good a league. But come be a starter for us and make $500,000. And not many kids, some kids will, but not many kids are going to turn down, you know, that much of an opportunity change. And so it's really going to come down to who's the most creative.
There's the betterment for the player individually. There's what's best for a program collectively. There's what's best for a league. Then there's what's best for college football. I've found, in my opinion, that those don't always perfectly overlap. So case in point, let's say over at Pate State, I've built this dominant roster and I got championship caliber depth in the old way of doing things. Then the new way of doing things comes and my twos and my threes are bought out from under me for probably two or three times what they're worth, but there's desperation in the marketplace. That's great for that player that he just got that money. It is great for the program that they had the resources allocated to be able to come do that. It's not good for me because I just lost my championship caliber depth.
So when you hear that, what do you think? My initial reaction is this is good for Nebraska, but go ahead. What do you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, it kind of plays out like we've seen. I like Matt Rhule kind of like going ahead and just kind of saying it and putting it out there is that, you know, there's a different value to every guy, and that's going to be different based on what your needs are and you know, what situation you are on your team. And I mean, people kind of think about the spring game and what's going on. Maybe why do this? We're seeing some other schools do it. I think part of it's year three. It's time for results. Like they're not going to say, well, yeah, this could happen, but we'll figure it out in a couple of years. No, you got to figure out now what your strategy is moving forward. It's kind of changing year by year and it's kind of on the fly. But they're doing everything they can to be one step ahead of competition. That's what they got to do.
I agree with everything you said. My additional thoughts would be, and it was something David Pollack said when I interviewed him, and Matt Rhule kind of echoed it. Like it used to be that Georgia and Bama would just load up first round draft picks on the one deep, the two deep, future first round draft picks on the three deep, five stars all over the place. Now all of a sudden, you've got a school like Nebraska or somebody else who can call and say, hey, we're trying to get better. We're trying to get better now. We're willing to spend to bring in good football players. You want to play? You want to come make an impact? Dylan Raiola leaving from Georgia to come here. There's other guys as well. Come here because we're going to build something and you can be a part of that class that turns things around and you can become a legend for eternity in the state of Nebraska anytime you come back as an alumni. So for me, I think it's going to disperse the talent more. It's going to create more parity. It's going to help schools like Nebraska. There's actually a lot of things about the new modern college football that help Nebraska, from more teams getting in the college football playoff to the talent being more dispersed to being able. I mean, Nebraska's got a decent amount of money. They were one of the top seven teams in the entire country when it came to spending NIL money. They had a top five portal class, number one in the Big Ten, number 20 recruiting class in the entire country. Jeremiah Johnson. Is it Johnson or Jones? Do you know?
Mm-mm.
Rhule's press conference was a little delayed on National Signing Day.
Okay, yeah.
Because, I think it's Jones. Yeah, Jeremiah Jones. Because basically Missouri called and had almost taken him away, Jeremiah Jones. They had to counter, and they were able to secure him and keep him here. And so this is the new way of college football. I think there's a comment out there, not I think, I know. basically tampering doesn't exist. Like, it exists is what Matt Rhule meant, but nobody pays attention to it. Like, it doesn't exist because it's just become accepted. This illegal thing that should not happen just happens, and everybody accepts it. And there's proof and there's evidence and everyone knows it's happening, but it's part of college football. I'm not advocating for doing things that are legal. I'm simply saying more spots in the college football playoff actually helps Nebraska. I'm simply saying dispersing the talent across the country a little bit more and more schools being able to offer more opportunities to the talented players helps Nebraska. There are things about the way college football is going that I don't like at all as a general college football fan. As a Nebraska guy, I'm like, that might actually help Nebraska. That might actually help the Huskers. That might actually help us. I don't know. Do you see it any differently, Jake? Because I've been a lifelong college football fan my entire life. I've been a lifelong Nebraska fan my entire life. So sometimes I look through things as a college football fan type lens, and sometimes I'll look through it as a Nebraska football alumni fan, a Husker for life type lens. Sometimes there's crossover. Sometimes I get two completely different results in my head, because what may be good for the goose may not be good for the gander, but what might not be good for college football might be good for Nebraska at times. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, I can definitely see it. I'm going to be the downer like I did the other day with your question.
Stop doing that.
But, no, I mean, there have been things in college football that have been there to help Nebraska before. So while I do see some things that say, hey, that can help Nebraska, you need the right coach. You need the right players. You need, you need to build a winning foundation, and then you can kind of move from there. Because I'll always argue, I mean, it just kind of coincided that Nebraska's worst 20 years in football was in their easiest divisions. I mean, the Legends and Leaders was pretty tough, but the Big 10, Big 12 North and Big 10 West for 20 years, Nebraska should have had a shoe-in to go to their conference championship game year in and year out. There's some years, I mean, 2007, pretty good Big 12 North, but, there's very few years.
My senior year was 2006.
Yeah.
There's a distinction between 06, 07. Go ahead.
Kansas, some of those teams are pretty good in 07. Mm-hmm. So there's years that would be the outlier, but for the most part, having been in the Big 12 North and the Big 10 West, should have favored Nebraska for 20 years, and they didn't really do anything with it. So, yeah, there's some things that can help Nebraska, but, you still got to do most of the heavy lifting, obviously.
You make a great point, and you're right. It brought me down. Dang it. Facts don't care about feelings. Sometimes don't let the facts get in the way of a good story, right, Jake?
That's right.
But there's always pluses and minuses. To me, the difference is I truly believe Matt Rhule is going to do things the classy way. He's going to try to do them the right way. And while not originally a Nebraskan, he understands the way that they want to do things here. The biggest thing is having success and representing the university with class. And those are the things. He's the coach that gives us as good a chance to do this as anybody, in my humble opinion, since 2002. All right, that's my humble opinion on that topic. I haven't asked about the text line yet this show. Going all the way back to basketball, et cetera, et cetera. Is there any, and obviously what we're talking about now, is there anything since the start of the show that we should address on the text line? You have a smirk on your face. Oh, boy.
Oh, well, still people just mostly from basketball.
Okay.
So Dave Braska says Bearcat shot was short all night, so I wish it wasn't him with the last shot. Mm. That being said, he's 6'10". You do a lob pass like that, you get a good shot off.
Big target.
I think that's kind of where they were there. Couple people kind of thinking of how to make the dance. Jason Baird says one in the Big Ten tourney would be very helpful. Well, Bill says they beat Minnesota and Iowa, and they are in. 0278 says mini brackets today still got us a 10 seed, so that's encouraging.
Okay.
And Elsie's dad just disagrees with you. He says 0% chance Bryce would have got a foul call in that late drive.
Oh, okay. To each their own. Anything rule-wise or Dannon-wise?
Not yet.
Okay. All right. Let's go ahead. Anything else on that particular clip?
No.
All right. Let's go on to the next Matt Rhule clip here. And the headline you sent me, college football management unlike the NFL. So I've talked about how there are similarities to college football and the NFL. Actually, how I've always phrased it, correct me if I'm wrong, Jake, is it's getting more and more like the NFL. I've never actually said it's like the NFL or exactly like. I've said it's getting more and more like. Is that correct? Have I always phrased it that way?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Go ahead and roll the clip then.
You've been talking about spring a whole lot. Everyone up there in Lincoln's talking about the spring game, and is it going to exist in its classic form? Whatever the idea said this, okay, so there's this common talking point out there that college football is just like the NFL these days, which sounds good if you don't have to defend the viewpoint. But if anyone challenges you on that, like if someone were to say, oh, man, college football is just like the NFL, and I say, give me some examples. Well, free agency is not like the NFL. Salary cap at this point that we're talking is not like the NFL. enforcement is not like the NFL. Overall equity of structure is not like the NFL. So you've been a head coach at both levels. You just said, that's not really like the NFL. Like, just because we pay players today, and just because it may look a little bit more like the NFL than it used to, is there not still like a night and day difference between the Saturday and the Sunday game?
Night and day. And I mean, there, as you said, it looks a little bit more like it. You do have to assign value to players. You can't just all go. You know, I remember when I left college and went to the NFL. In the NFL, you get one first round draft pick. In college, you know, Alabama doesn't get one 5-star. They can get 8 of them. So that's where the disparity occurs. So I was like, hey, let's go to the NFL where everything is built on parity. It's not going to be that way. I think one of the biggest things is that because there is no contract, because they're just player promise contracts that the player can leave at any point, what you're going to see is I might assign a value to a player of, hey, I think a starting right guard is worth X amount of dollars. That in the NFL, that's kind of consistent. But in college, another team might say, you know what, we can't get these guys, so we're going to pay 3 times that value for your player. And so really your value comes down to what you're willing to pay for somebody. It's completely different. So all the salary cap managing type people, you'll need to do all that. But at the end of the day, at the core part of the day, it's going to be about each coach having to make a decision every year about which players am I willing to keep, which players am I willing to walk away from. And am I thinking of this in a 1-year increment? Am I thinking of it in 3-year increments? Now, if they ever did go to contracts, it would be completely different. And then if everything gets leveled, it still comes down to recruiting. It still comes down to the player saying, hey, what's the best fit for me? What's the best opportunity for me?
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
So the reason I say it's more and more like the NFL than it ever has been is for obvious reasons. People are getting played. There's literally going to be a salary cap coming up. There's obvious connections. Okay. I guess if you want to say the transfer portal is like free agency, I mean, kind of, sort of, in a way that you can leave a team and go to another team. There's a million ways that it's different, the transfer portal from NFL free agency. But that's the reason I never said it is like the NFL. It's more and more like it for obvious reasons. But he made some great points there. Like, the first one that stood out to me that I'd not heard anyone else say was each team gets one first round draft pick, barring trades, etc. Nobody's telling Georgia or Bama, hey, you get one 5-star. How crazy would that be? If everyone got like one 5-star across the country, and then the next, you had like the second round and you could all get maybe a second 5-star or a 4-star. Like, how different would the world be? So college football is completely different in that aspect of, you can have lopsided rosters when it comes to talent and depth on these rosters. But we've talked about how it might be more dispersed than it's ever been just because there's opportunities elsewhere. But the ability to evaluate a position, what position is worth more than another position, what player is worth more than another player, and then are you trying to keep them for a year? Are you trying to keep them for 3 years? How's the contract situation looking like? The revenue sharing situation, how's that going to impact this? The evaluation process that they have to do when they're putting values on different positions, on different players, offensive tackle versus guard. And then you have this other school that comes in and says, you know what, we really need a freaking guard. In the NFL, I guess the equivalent to that would be, hey, we'll give you our 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th round pick for your 2nd round pick so we can get a guard. That'd be a ridiculous trade, but just an example. Here, you just throw a ton more money at them, especially if you've got the money. So to me, it's this constant of, all right, this is how much money we have. This is, I mean, there's like, what, 25 5-stars in any given year. Then you got the transfer portal. And how do we disperse this? And how long do we have this guy? And how's this going to work? And dude, it's like, I am not jealous of any college football coach, the job that they have to do now. And when I think about it, for me, you have to be so good at allocating when and where you spend your money, who you spend it on. Can you get them to sign a contract? for more than a year and get these kids to stick around for multiple years. Developing young players and then them going somewhere else because somebody else offers them more money. I mean, this whole thing is just kind of crazy. To me, the big thing is you have to be great at evaluating which positions do we need the most, which positions do we value the most, where do we want to allocate the majority of our money, and which players are worth it. And how do we get them to stay here for more than just a freaking year? I don't know. What do you think, Jake?
Well, I just like the part about how, you know, NFL set up for parity in college football is not. But, you know, I argue that's best. That's what's best about college football is the upsets, is the big, mm-hmm. you know, the odds being against you. And, you know, NFL, you can have upsets, but you're still just like, well, yeah, I mean, they all play with each other within mm-hmm. 3 or 6 points anyway. Yep. So, you know, so that's what I love about college football. And yes, what has changed is that maybe money is the driving force. But there's always been a driving force. They could try as much as they want to get parity in college football. They're not. It's going the opposite way. Like, conferences are getting bigger. But I'm glad for that, again, for the reasons I said. But, again, now that reason is money. But no matter what you have, when you don't have a structured, like you said, first-round draft pick, here's the amount of roster guys you can – here's the cap, salary cap. When you don't have that, they might have been choosing because of coach. They might have chosen because of weather. They might have been choosing because of school. Whatever it was in the past. Now it might be money. But it, you know, just the way that it's structured is not set up for parity, and I love it.
I like that part at the end. So I agree with you as far as it's one of the reasons I've always been more of a college football fan than an NFL fan, because I love the upsets. I love, like, a 3-9 team on any given Sunday could beat a 9-3 team, and you're not shocked. You move on to the next game. In college football, if you've got a team that's like 2-7 playing a 7-2 team, there's going to be games across the country that are interesting and come down to the wire, and all of a sudden you get this big time upset between two teams where clearly the 7-2 team's probably better, just not on this particular day. And that's one of the things I love about college football. I love the upsets, to Jake's point, and the disparity in talent. They've been trying to have parity in college football for Lord knows how long. It's why we got rid of certain things, and it's why we went to 85 scholarship limits to try to disperse the scholarships and the players amongst more teams, and now we're at 105 and there's no walk-ons. Like, and to Jake's point, no, the Big Ten and SEC don't care about parity. They care about destroying every other conference and taking over college football. That's what their ultimate goal is. Like, I think college football is going to look drastically different come 2031, and the Big Ten and SEC are going to have a lot to do with it, in my humble opinion. But unless you got anything else real quick, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Abby Barmore. Don't go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.